I was just out and about. Thought I'd see if anybody wanted to play some round ball.
You're listening to the Bet Slippin' Podcast's daily NBA show, featuring Jeff Clark from USA Today Sportsbook Wire.
What's up, fools? Thanks for streaming today's Bet Slippin' Podcast. It's your host, Jeff Clark, sports betting analyst here at sportsbookwire.usatoday.com. Recording this week's podcast on Thursday, May 5th. It's Cinco de Mayo, and I got my handicapping homie back here in the Zoom with me, Nathan Beagle, a.k.a. Nate Dogg. What's up, Nate?
A.k.a. Nate the Great. He's back in action. I got my churro from lunch in my system, so I got the Mexican vibes alive. Nice. Ready to handicap some basketball, my favorite sport.
What's the lot to
unpack there.
I'm very curious on what the Mexican scene is like out there in Cincinnati.
Yeah, so Cincinnati has a raving Mexican culture, if you didn't know.
I absolutely did not know.
I'm going to say it's not anything like L.A. because, you know, we're pretty far from Mexico. But I had a churro from Costco today. So,
oh, fair enough. Hey, you never know.
Like, upper 50 and it was like a foot long. So you got to get your value. Go to Costco. That's my shameless plug.
Yeah, this might be the abused Southern Californian talking, but Costco actually has some pretty good pizza. I'll say that.
Oh, I had... My lunch today was a piece of pizza, a smoothie, and a churro from Costco.
Wow. So you were talking about how you really need to get out there and run and exercise before we started recording this podcast. And now that we're going through your lunch, I know you mean it. I mean, you got to work off some of these calories.
Today was not good.
I mean, we're all kind of celebrating, right? It's a holiday.
Yeah. Yeah. Every chance to celebrate. It's a holiday. Drink your Corona and kick it back. No basketball today, so...
I know. It's weird. There's just this weird off day here. Again, recording Thursday, May 5th. We'll talk a little bit about the first round of the NBA playoffs, but the bulk of this podcast, the meat of this podcast, will be us breaking down all four game threes of the conference semifinals in the 2022 NBA playoffs. There's two Friday, May 6th. And then there's two more Saturday, May 7th. So we'll get into those here in a few seconds. But we haven't talked or we haven't podcasted since we did our first round NBA playoff preview. My first round was just an absolute nightmare. I ended up somewhat recouping my losses at the end of the first round. I hit big with the Mavericks, but definitely lost money in the first round. How was your first round, dude?
My first round was great, I believe. I don't know if I played a few of the series. I don't think I played like the Raptors, Sixers 2-2 that I gave out, but I know I played the Warriors minus 1.5 pretty heavy. And I know I put a decent future on the Warriors to win the West. Okay. So I was back in the Warriors because we were oppo on that. I'm glad I came out on top. Because you were big into the Nuggets, the size difference. First round was pretty good for me. I know I had that. I called the Pelicans in their home game, and then I forget too much of who else I won on. I know the under on the Hawks, or Trae Young's under hit almost every time, so I think I won a couple there. But I don't remember a ton of the first round. I know this most recent round has been awesome for me. I called one of the best handicaps I've ever read was yours when the Wolves played the Grizzlies first round. You're like, game one, I don't think the Wolves are going to win the series, but they're absolutely going to win game one. I used that same logic going into the Warriors one. I put a ton on the Warriors to win game one. They won it. Put another chunk on the Grizzlies to win game two. Now, my chunks aren't as sizable as your chunks, Mr. Moneybags over there, but I love the Grizzlies-Warriors series. That's my favorite to handicap for sure.
The Grizzlies-Warriors series?
Yeah.
All right. I'm very interested in where you land on that one because, again, we were oppo in the first round. Obviously, you killed me in that one. I took the Nuggets over the Warriors. I took a swing at that series price before it started, and then after the first game, I kind of knew. I just chalked up my losses. Like, all right, everything that – the people who liked the Warriors said about the Warriors happened. And it was like, all right, well, I'm wrong about everything. So I ended up making a little money back because I bet the Nuggets plus the points in their elimination game. They ended up covering the spread. But yeah, that was a loser for me. The Toronto Raptors was a loser for me. I actually learned something as like a handicapper from that series. I'm actually not as keen about playing NBA series prices anymore. I think I'm just going to bet single games because I mean, I guess I don't really put too much of my bankroll up for stakes in a series price. So, like, if I do change my mind mid-series, I'm not going to end up losing a bunch off of the series bet itself. But I don't know, like, the lesson I learned from the handicap of the Toronto-Philly series is that everyone liked Toronto. Everyone liked Toronto. And I knew that that was it turned out to be a sucker play. Before game one tipped off, I knew I was dead in the water because everyone with a podcast gave out the Toronto Raptors. And I thought it was so sharp in doing it. I mean, I was early on the Toronto Raptors in the regular season. I won some money off of them, but they were not a good matchup for the Philadelphia 76ers. So I took an L there. I took an L with the Nuggets, but I made a whole bunch of money on the Dallas Mavericks. They were going to win that series with or without Luka Doncic. And I tweeted this out a bunch of times and talked to you about it mid-first round, but I love the Pelicans. And I took them at plus 220 to win that series. I bet them plus the points in a couple of spots, which I made money on. So I took some of those winnings and put them in the series price. And they would have, I think, beaten Phoenix had not been just for incredible, incredible play by CP3. And that appears to be one of the, like I wasn't high on the Suns coming into the playoffs. And now I just don't see how they don't make it to the finals. I really like them against the Warriors or even the Grizzlies if the Grizzlies somehow made it that far. Are you feeling differently about your Western Conference pick or Eastern Conference pick for that matter? I think they're both still alive, right?
Yeah, out of technicality, the Warriors look good. I think on paper, I think they match up pretty well with the Suns. I mean, they're going to be small, which is going to be a problem. It's going to be interesting. Ayton's had an insanely efficient postseason. So it'll be interesting how Draymond matches up there. But Draymond's played pretty well against he played decently well against Jokic. But, I mean, to be fair, they ran the ball through Jokic 24-7. That's not the same with Ayton. And they can switch on everything. It'll be interesting also because the Warriors like that. They've been calling them the Fast Five or, you know, their PTSD lineup or whatever. And I just don't think that's going to fly against teams that are lengthier. And I think you saw that, like, it start to get exposed against the Grizzlies in game two, which is why I'm kind of hesitant for the Warriors even throughout this series. But I still like the Warriors. I got them at, plus 800 to win the finals. And I still like that. I still think there's good value there. I mean, let me just say this. I think their ceiling is the highest of any team in the NBA. I just don't know if they'll consistently get there. I mean, they shot I would have to pull up the numbers, but they shot 6 of 35 from deep in game two. And they just can't be doing that if they want to have an actual chance.
Yeah, because Draymond's an excellent defender, but their front court is a major issue. A major issue that they can't overcome.
Yeah, they don't start someone over 6'10", and even then, they praise Kevon Looney, but he's not physical. He's not physical enough or talented, quick enough with his feet to keep up with a DeAndre Ayton-type player.
Yeah, Kevon Looney is a top 10 backup big. He's a bottom 5 starting big, if that.
Yeah.
Right? You know what I mean? So, having him in your rotation is awesome. Having him as your starter, I'm not crazy about that. But he's not even really starting in this series, right? We'll talk about that in a second, actually.
Yeah, we'll get into it.
The team that I've came around on, I'm not going to bet him in any futures. I'm pretty much done playing futures right now, but I'm riding with the Heat. I am. The more I soak in the numbers, soak up their numbers, even looking at their regular season stuff, because frankly, I was low on Atlanta the whole year, and I guess I was somewhat vindicated in their first round beatdown that they took by the Miami Heat, but I'm not patting myself on the back for calling that or anything. I think just Atlanta was trash, and obviously what they're doing to Philly doesn't matter that much without Joel Embiid, but during the regular season, they were the best three-point team in the NBA by three-point differential. They were first in three-point percentage, second in defensive three-point percentage, and how often can you just cut through the box score and go right to the three-point shooting of games and decide who wins those games, right? Or that decides who wins those games. So
do you want to give out My bad to cut you off. Do you want to give out the odds of that game, or do you just want to straight go into these?
No, I'm just talking about like the team. I'm kind of doing like I don't know, just talking some just bullshitting about the first round and like some of the things that I picked up since. No, I get you.
I didn't know if he's going into this game and they wanted to give out odds, but yeah, I love Miami too. So I'll listen to it all.
Well, they're second in defensive 3-point shooting percentage, and they allow the fewest paint points per game in the NBA. That sounds like the best defensive team in the league, right? That's kind of what that sounds like.
Well, that's the same reason you start falling in love with the Suns right about this time. They were, what, top 10 in offensive and defensive efficiency? The Warriors slipped in both categories towards the end of the season. Dallas had a great defense, but their offense is so one-dimensional now. If you can stop Luka and just protect the three-point shooters on the sides, they're not going to be doing anything. I mean, the Sixers are nothing without Embiid. And honestly, we both agree that the Heat would be crushing them even with Embiid. I mean, Adebayo is way too versatile for him to do anything, even if Embiid were in the game.
Yeah, and the big reason, well, actually, we'll talk about that in a second. I just further, some more stuff on the Heat. They're ninth in total rebounding rate, fourth of the remaining playoff teams. This is in the regular season, so big sample size. And I don't know how much we can take out of their sample size in the playoffs, even though they grade really well on everything because they're crushing these teams. They're 23-15 straight up in clutch time, and they've had mad injuries. They've went through different lineups. They've gotten production out of several different guys. There was that weird sideline bickering incident that they've overcome. I mean, they have playoff experience and great coaching, and like kind of addressing your earlier point about the Phoenix Suns, like if it goes Phoenix Suns, Miami Heat in the finals, which I kind of think it will, Suns will be a decent favorite, and fairly. I think the Suns are a better team. I'm just saying, like, I think the market is still down on the Miami Heat, and I think there's value. Like, if they're getting plus points in any game moving forward, I'm almost going to take them every time. And I think we should talk about game threes on Friday and Saturday. You ready to move over to the handicapping portion of this?
Yep. Yes, sir.
All right. Cool. So, keeping the Heat in mind, they visit the Philadelphia 76ers for the first of the four game threes being played on Friday and Saturday. Tip off is 7:00 Eastern Standard Time. Obviously, the Heat are up 2-0 in that series right now. The odds are Heat -120 on the road, 76ers +100. Total sitting at 210.5. How are you playing this, Nate?
So I think I don't even really need to go into this too far. Heat -1.5 is awesome. And I know that's probably something you'll give out as well. Maybe it's not. I don't have any player props on this one. And honestly, it's kind of all you said. And I think your handicap for the first round series is right. Toronto, if they didn't have that Joel, if they didn't give up that lead in game three and Joel Embiid hit that three, they could have won that series. If Maxey doesn't go off in game one, maybe they steal that one. The Sixers have kind of just had, I don't want to say luck, because I'm not necessarily, I believe these teams are lucky, but I want to say they've had better fortune than most teams. And I think that fortune's run up. I don't think Harden's who Harden typically isn't. And even that, he's going against a defense that switches literally everything and that plays very well defensively. They can play 1 through 5. They switch, then Adebayo is quick enough to slide over every time. So watching them it's beautiful for fans. And then my one concern is when they get to teams that are better, if they have the offensive firepower to keep up, because I'm not sold that they're going to like Jimmy Butler's going to be able to drop 40 on a Suns or something similar to that. But for this game, no one's sure if Embiid, I think he's going to test it out. No one's sure if he's going to play. If he doesn't, this line will quickly move to Heat 3.5. I think it's factoring in that he's going to give it a go, but you don't know necessarily how many minutes, you don't know. And then on top of that, you just don't know his effectiveness. I know he was an MVP, but like in Miami, we're talking about a top 5 defense. So I'll take Heat -1.5. And honestly, I think I would play anything under -3.5 if Embiid gets ruled out and it spikes.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I'm probably just going to take the -120 money line. Chris Haynes, the sideline reporter for TNT last night, I think it was last night, was talking about Joel Embiid, and he was texting Embiid, and I guess he said Embiid looked at his phone for the first time since breaking his face because he couldn't handle like the light from the phone. So maybe that's a little bit of Embiid posturing. He's going to give it a go anyways. But like your earlier point, like, I actually think if he plays and he's not effective, it's not going to actually, it's going to hurt the team more than it helps them, because he's going to possibly turn over the ball. He's going to eat up possessions, and he's not going to be as aggressive attacking the hoop with a broken face, obviously. Right. So I don't think Harden or Embiid's presence at this point matters to my bet. Like, if he plays, I'll still take the Miami Heat straight up at this price point. And if he doesn't, like, I think I'll get a better line. Harden.
And I kind of, part of me also thinks this is Doc Rivers and the Sixers' fault. Like, Daryl Morey, how do you not have, I understand this is an orbital fracture. It's not a knee. It's not a hamstring. It's not an ankle. But how do you not have a better big than Paul Reed or DeAndre Jordan? How do you not have, DeMarcus Cousins was up for grab earlier this season. I know he's not the best, but he'd be a better option than anything they have now. How do you not have that coming off the bench when you have a player that barely played his first two seasons in the league? I don't understand that. And that's where in the offseason, I guess, you would have to address always having a capable backup big for them.
Well, I mean, they put all their eggs in the Harden basket, and this fool's washed. It's as simple as that. He's washed. I don't think he's ever going to recover.
To be fair, what did they give up? They gave up Seth Curry and someone that's getting back surgery and didn't play at all. So,
well, and Andre Drummond, which is the big that they're missing.
I forgot about Drummond. Drummond would make a sizable change in this series, significantly more than Harden.
I mean, I'm not going to go that far.
Seth Curry was one of my favorites. If they don't do that trade, I think there's a decent chance that they at least look competent. They've got destroyed the first two games.
Yeah, like, Morey loves Harden, whatever, and this is turning into a bit of a hot take podcast, but this is fun. Supposedly, the Atlanta Hawks were willing to send Bogdan Bogdanovic and John Collins to Philly for Ben Simmons. Oh my God, how did they not take that? Like, I feel like Morey should be locked up for what he's done to this roster. James Harden is -21 net rating in the series. He's got a -9.9 non-garbage time net rating when he's on the floor and Embiid's off the floor. That's in the postseason. -11.6 in the regular season. Miami has like a top 10 pick and roll defense. All Harden can do is run pick and roll. Maxey and Tobias Harris are going nuts. These guys are balling, and Miami is just pecker smacking Philly. Like, they are crushing them.
You've used pepper smacking before.
Pecker smacking.
Just pepper smacking.
No, pecker smacking. I said pecker. It like three times, and hopefully the wrong people aren't listening, because they're gonna be pretty mad that I said that three times. But anyways, that's how lopsided the series is.
Yikes.
Miami's outscored. We're just gonna talk through it. Miami has outscored Philly in 7 of the 8 quarters in these two games. They're leading in 3 of the 4 factors. You know that old adage, role players perform better at home? Well, holy shit, are they going to need to play really well at home, because Miami's bench is outscoring Philly's 94-40 in this series, dude. 94-40 in this series. In the regular season, the Miami Heat had, I think, a top 5 bench scoring unit, whereas Philly had, I think, a bottom 3 bench scoring unit. Dude, I'm going to script this name. Matisse Thybulle has got a -47 net rating. George Niang, who I absolutely hate, George Niang. It felt like every game I bet against the Philadelphia 76ers in the regular season, George Niang would go off and just splash threes against me.
Are they not playing him? Or?
Oh, no. He's got a -54 net rating. They're playing him, and
always liked him. Like, when he was back in Utah, right? I think I always liked him.
I kind of like him too. His nickname's the Minivan, which is awesome.
Yeah, and he was from Iowa State, right?
Yeah.
He went to Iowa State. Yeah, I like Niang. I don't know why.
But I don't hate his game, but every time I bet against the 76ers, this guy shows up, and every time I bet on the 76ers, he goes missing. So now that I'm making money betting against his team and he's shit in the bed, I'm just like, I'm loving it. And Danny Green, granted, he's a starter. This guy has a -78 net rating. Like, I think the Miami Heat are going to, in fact, sweep them. I obviously wouldn't feel strong about that if I know Embiid's going to play the next couple games, but I don't think he gives them much of a boost because Harden's washed, frankly. They need him to be an MVP, and he's not anywhere near there. The Heat have just elite defense on all three levels. Is there three levels? Yeah, there's three levels, right? Rim, mid, perimeter. There it is, three levels. Heat excel on all of them. I have one player prop in this game. Do you have one?
I don't have a play. I only have one player prop in general.
Okay, cool. So I have.
But it's a strong one. It's like you better take it.
Like, love it, dude. I'm going to take it.
I'll take it too. You know what? I'm loading on this guy. So whatever. Yeah, go ahead.
I'm gonna go under Jimmy Butler 22.5 points. That's my player prop here. He's averaging 18.5 points per game in the two games a series. I think he's going to take more of a role as the distributor with no Lowry in the series. And the Heat are an ensemble cast anyway, so it makes it more sense for him to move the ball a little bit. He's went over 22.5 points in just 10 of his 25 career starts versus Philly, over 22.5 in 24 of his 83 career playoff starts. 22.5 and over 22.5 and just 25 as 53 starts of the season. I do think his number is still inflated from just, I wanted to say it again, for just manhandling the Atlanta Hawks. I'll go with that verb, manhandling the Atlanta Hawks. So my two plays in this game, I'm taking Miami Heat money line. I'm going under Jimmy Butler 22.5 points. Do you have any closing thoughts on that first game, or do you want to move on?
No, I think that one's a boring one anyway.
All right, cool. So the second game, 3 on the Friday slate, is a 9:30 Eastern Standard tip-off between the 1-seed Phoenix Suns playing the 4-seed Dallas Mavericks. Suns are up 2-0. They're favored -112 in the money line, -108 for the Dallas Mavericks. You're getting a point and a half if you want to bet the Suns. Against the spread, but it's heavily juiced. Dallas is -1.5 at -102. Total sitting at 219.5. I think I'm done with totals. I mean, I have to be really locked in to bet a total. I bet the under in their game last night, and I wasn't even near it. I felt kind of stupid about that. So, I don't know. I don't think I'm as locked into totals, but are you, I don't know, what are you looking at betting in this game, if anything at all?
I'm locked into totals, baby.
Nice.
I'm going under 219.5. So so Dallas has one of the better defense in the league, whether they ranked 7th in defensive rating throughout the season, and they were the slowest defense or the slowest team. Now, obviously, like you said, you bet the under last night. When a team shoots 65%, it really doesn't matter. I'm going to bank that the Suns aren't going to shoot 65% again. I mean, the Suns scored 71 points in the second half. Now, although Dallas ranks last in pace normally, it gets even slower. It goes from 95.6 in the regular season to 95.1 at home. And on top of that, they're 31-13 at home. Now, in that sense, I just think that it's going to be a slower game. It's going to be 112, 107, something like that. I still think the Suns come out on top. I think the Suns are a superior team. They're elite on both sides of the ball. They're one of six teams in the NBA, or one of two teams in the playoffs that rank top five or top six in both defensive and offensive rating. So I'm pretty excited for the game, and I'm pretty excited for the Suns. I'm going to play the under just because I don't think the success that Phoenix has is going to necessarily be a factor on the road. And you also have to consider the Suns were the best in terms of win-loss percentage, the best team at home in the NBA this season. And they're a similar beast on the road. It's just not going to be quite the same. And I don't think they're going to shoot 65% from the field. My only handicap is regression is going to happen with the Suns. And I'm here to take 220 after this line's been spiked after they scored 129 points.
Fair enough. My thing about the betting the under is that directionally I agree with you, or theoretically maybe I agree with you, but like Dallas's defense really has no answer for this offense. Like, sure, like they're hitting shots and almost at an unsustainable rate, but I mean, they're getting really good looks. Dallas's backcourt is getting absolutely cooked by the Suns. We don't even have to discuss the front courts, really. I mean, DeAndre Ayton just crushes that entire Dallas front court. CP3's got a 72% true shooting, plus 24 net rating in the series. Booker, 60% true shooting, plus 11 net rating. And the thing that people keep talking about that I've noticed, too, in the first two games, the Suns are actively hunting Luka Doncic. Like, not even people, like Reggie Miller is actually talking about it during the broadcast. Like, especially in the second half when he starts to get a little tired, you can, I think, question his conditioning in this sense. You know, he's got a white Eastern European James Harden thing going on with him. But, I mean, they keep attacking him, and Phoenix's backcourt is smoking Dallas's. I mean, Jalen Brunson can't break down Phoenix's perimeter defense and get that same dribble penetration he was for the Jazz series. I do think Phoenix smells blood in the water. I think Chris Paul, like, wants to put Luka Doncic in his place. I think Devin Booker could beat Jalen Brunson and Dinwiddie in a handicap match. And the one big thing that everyone talked about with the Phoenix Suns and why they liked them so much in the regular season was their clutch time performance. They're 33-9 in clutch time with a plus 33 net rating. Clutch time is when the game is within a 5-point margin inside of 5 minutes to play. So again, Phoenix in the clutch, 33-9 straight up, plus 33 net rating. Dallas, 22-16 straight up. Pretty good record, right? But a minus 6.7 net rating, 25th in the NBA during the regular season. So if this game gets down to the final two possessions, we've seen Chris Paul do it for 15 years now. I don't even know how many years he's played, but a lot. A couple decades now. I mean, I think the Suns just blow past the Dallas Mavericks if it's a tight game late, and I'm not necessarily convinced it will be a tight game. I also have a player prop in this one. Do you have anything else on this game? Side, total, player prop, whatever.
I don't have much else. I like the under. I agree with your point. It's kind of the same vibe that I get with the Heat, is they're just a better team. And that's honestly sometimes when, especially on these road games, when it's a point and a half difference, you're going to take the team you like better.
Yeah, I could see James Harden having a throwback game and getting some bogus officiating at home to prevent a sweep and win game three. I could see Luka Doncic getting some good officiating, their perimeter shooters hitting some threes and the Suns falling flat on their face in game three. But ultimately, like, if you're giving me these teams pretty much straight up, which I can get them, I'll take it. And if I lose this one, I'll bet the next one. Because I think this is just an...
That's just like general mental betting advice anyway. Like, do your research. And if you're typically doing your research, like, I'm not going to get frustrated when it doesn't hit if it's a basis that I believed in. I guess that's always kind of how my betting style mm-hmm. has been. And if I've won or lost, it doesn't get me quite as triggered.
That being said, I am willing to go the other way on series if I see stuff. Like, yeah. We'll talk about it in the second game here on the Saturday slate, but I've kind of switched my mind on how I see the Grizzlies-Warriors series or where I see the value in that series. But the one player prop that I have in the Mavericks-Suns game three is I'm going back to the well. I took this yesterday in the Bet Slippin' podcast.
Jay Crowder?
No. I don't hate that one either. I'm going under Jalen Brunson points. It was 18.5 yesterday. It's down to 17.5 here. I still just think he's overpriced based on the Utah Jazz series. Luka's return affects his usage rate. It affects Dallas' floor spacing. He's not really a floor spacer. He's more of a guy who likes to create off the dribble for himself and for others. And I don't know who on this Phoenix team he can exploit on defense. He's shooting 32% from the field, 25% from three in the series, and he's only attempted 4 free throws. He's not going to get to the line very much because Luka's going to eat up the usage. Luka's going to be doing that sort of stuff. And he attempts mostly mid-range jumpers. Well, Phoenix has the 7th best defensive field goal percentage versus mid-range jumpers. They have Jay Crowder, Mikal Bridges, who's a defensive player of the year finalist, and DeAndre Ayton, all to kind of clog that paint and make it really hard for Jalen Brunson. to do what he likes to do. So I'm going to go back to the well, not Jay Crowder, even though I do love Jay Crowder. But I'm going under 17.5 with Jalen Brunson points.
I'd like to note, you gave out that one on the bet slip, and I saw it on your Twitter, and I took it.
Nice.
Jay Crowder.
Did you take the Tyler Hero? Because that was one of the worst beats that I've taken in a long time.
No, I didn't see that one.
So I took yesterday, I took over Tyler Hero 18.5 points. This guy shot 60% from the field, had 15 points at the end of halftime, had 18 points at the end of the third quarter, and went under 18.5 points. I was so pissed. I don't even know. Like, I'm lucky to have a computer today. I almost threw my computer just out of my off my balcony. I was so pissed, so mad. That's actually been kind of the story of my NBA playoffs. I've lost like four games on like half points here or there, or half stats and props too. So that's why I keep chugging along here. But let's go over to the Saturday games. First one is a 3:30 Eastern Standard tip-off between the Boston Celtics headed to Milwaukee for Game 3 to play the Bucks. Both games were double-digit blowouts. Milwaukee won Game 1. Boston won Game 2, I think, by 20-plus. They hit 17 more three-pointers in Game 2, so they should have beaten the crap out of the Milwaukee Bucks. I like the Milwaukee Bucks here. I'm hoping more money comes in on Boston, and I can just get a cheaper money line. But since we're doing this now, I'm going to end up laying the 2.5 minus 120 with the Bucks, which is a typical price point. They're our sponsor. I'll shout them out here in a second, but what are you getting down on in this game, if anything at all?
So this is probably the series I like to bet the least. I actually haven't bet it yet. I've been a spectator in every game, and I think it's for goodwill. You have the MVP on one side of the ball. You have two emerging stars. This is where my player prop comes in, because I didn't really want to give out a side, and I just found value in a prop.
Okay. Well, I have a prop too. What's your prop? I want to hear it. I'll give you mine after.
Grant Williams over 1.5 threes, minus 115. So he's hit two or more.
What's the under, if you don't mind me asking? Do you have it in front of you?
No.
You don't have to look it up. I just want to know if the over was cheaper than the under. But go ahead. Keep going.
I mean, they would have been generally the same, you'd have thought.
Yeah, they usually put their props at typically at minus 115.
If it's minus 115, I feel like they usually take more juice on these. So it might have been like 135 for the under.
Okay, anyways, what's your Grant Williams handicap?
Either way, what I did was I basically took the over of the guy I liked the least that was the least priced, because like Al Horford was like minus 140, Jaylen Brown was 2.5 threes, and it was still minus. So basically the thought process is Grant Williams is finally getting minutes. So I actually bet his points, rebounds, and assists in the first game versus the Nets, and it was an absolutely horrific beat. He had like 9 in the first quarter, and it was only like 12.5. And then he didn't even score or do anything the rest of the game. It was awful.
I think that beat's worse than mine. That sounds terrible.
I'm going to go research it and like get you factual like evidence of what that beat was, because I forget exactly, but I was watching the game like cringing.
I'm going to need to drink whiskey and smoke cigarettes when I read that box score.
Yeah, it was horrible. So the point is that Grant Williams is finally getting minutes. In that game, he played 21 minutes. Since then, he's played 29 in each of his last five. This man is 16 for 25 from deep in his last five games.
What's that, 64%?
He's shooting a 60% clip from deep.
Yeah, 64%, right? 64%
clip. It's insane.
So, I like the way he's been playing, dude. I don't hate this handicap.
And I like Grant Williams. I think he's a solid shooter. And there's so much to concern yourself with the Celtics roster aside from Grant Williams. He's not a key player. He's going to be a benefactor. And Marcus Smart's turned into more of a distributor. So Williams has hit two or more in four of his last five. He is finally getting the minutes. He gets more time. He's been shooting more threes. I mean, he was 6 for 9 in his last game. He shot 9 threes. I'm not saying that's necessarily going to be repeated, but he's probably going to get 4, 5, 6 attempts, and he's probably going to knock down a couple. I saw the value. I saw how he'd been playing, how the matchup been gone, and for minus 115, I'll take it. Also to note, the Bucks were dead last in opponents' three-point field goal attempts, opponents' three-point makes, and they were in the bottom half of the league in opponents' three-point field goal percentage during the regular season. So the Bucks don't defend well from deep.
Yeah, to back you up, they kind of have this strategy where they funnel three. They try to funnel 3-point shots to certain guys who can't be making them or who are less likely to make them. So Grant Williams would probably be one of those guys, even though he's shooting really well from the field. Like if Marcus Smart's out there, if Al Horford's out there, if obviously Tatum and Brown out there, someone's going to probably be left open, and that could be Williams.
The Bucks allowed 40.6 attempts from deep during the regular season. That is insane. The second highest was the Thunder, who sucked, the Hornets, who sucked, and they were both at 38.7. Almost two more attempts from the Bucks allowing their opponents. Grant Williams is going to get 5 or 6 attempts from deep, and he should hit 2, especially with how he's been playing. So minus 115 thought was great value for that.
Yeah, I don't hate it. Dude, my one player prop, I'm going under 29.5 points for Jason Tatum. It's at minus 113 on Tipico. He's went over. He scored 30 or more points in one of his career 14 games in Milwaukee. Just one out of 14. He's went over or scored 30 or more points in 10 of his 56 career playoff starts. And he's went under 29.5 points in both game one and two, despite shooting 47% from three. So if he has a bad shooting day from 3-point line, like what is he going to put up then if he couldn't get to 30 with a good 3-point shooting night? And he's went under 30 points in 2 of his 6 playoff games this postseason. So Jason Tatum's awesome. Jason Tatum's a baller. He was actually my preseason pick to win the MVP. He's probably going to be a hipster pick next year for a bunch of people. I'm not knocking his game at all, but he will probably be guarded by Giannis a lot of times. And if he's not hitting threes, we know the Bucks like to clog the paint, and they definitely have the guys that could frustrate mid-range isolation shooters like Jason Tatum. So that's my one player prop. Are you into any of either one of the sides of the total here?
I do not like this series. I think I would take the under strictly because it seems like both games, one team has been a major disappointment, and maybe that trend continues. I'm not a huge fan of it. I mean, the blowouts that have gone both ways, you don't typically see that. In every other game, it's been one team dominant or close games. We haven't had, in these four series, we haven't had a strict blowout on both sides. So I just considering the nature of that, I'm not playing a side.
Okay. I love to hear that discipline. I have completely lost all discipline. I'm just firing in this postseason. Part of it,
Bucks. I love them at home.
Part of it's confidence. You know, I really believe that I know what I'm doing here. And I'm just gonna keep firing. All the other part is just like I just love betting the NBA. It's like one of my favorite things to do. But I'll take the Bucks to take a 2-1 series lead. Win the series as it heads back to Milwaukee. I don't think they definitely did their job by stealing one in Boston. I think they get a better shooting performance out of Brooke Lopez, Wesley Matthews, Bobby Portis, Pat Connaughton. Actually, Pat Connaughton and Grayson Allen have shot pretty well. It's those other three, those first three that need to step it up. And I think one or two or maybe even three of them have a better game here now that it's back in Milwaukee. I get the sense that Boston's getting a ton of love from the public. According to pregame.com, they're getting more bets. I just get a general feeling that everyone likes Boston. So I'm kind of not just going off of the numbers, mostly like a vibe check here. Maybe I'm wrong.
I think it's Chris Middleton. I think if Middleton were playing, the vibes would be way different.
Yeah, and he wasn't playing that well for Milwaukee before he was sidelined officially with an injury. Maybe he was dealing with an injury, but I almost feel like it was addition by subtraction. And, I'm willing to excuse game two because, whatever. If you're going to get hot from three, you're going to win. And that's what Boston did. But Milwaukee's defense, I think, is set up to stop Boston and what they want to do. And this is going to be the most surprising stat you've heard this entire podcast, because when I was prepping for this podcast, I was stunned when I saw this. Milwaukee crushes Boston in clutch time. Crushes them. Now, Milwaukee, 24-17 straight up with a plus 16 points per 100 possessions, which is second in the NBA behind the Phoenix Suns, right? Everyone kind of knew that or had a feeling that, well, Milwaukee can probably pull out some close games, right? This is what's shocking. Boston in the clutch, despite their record, despite all the love they've gotten from the market, They're 13-22 straight up, and they have a minus 9.5 net rating, which is 26 in the NBA. That blew my mind when I saw it, because I just, that's not what you think of a playoff team, right? Like, I guess the only way I can digest that and still, like, understand or, understand, like, Boston's dominance is because they just don't have a lot of close games. They just beat the shit out of all their opponents when they're rolling through the NBA. But that clutch number is nuts. If this gets to a tight game down the stretch, I like Milwaukee to gas Boston, at least here at home in Milwaukee. So I'll lay the 2.5 points of the Bucks. It's at minus 120.
At home, only getting 2.5 points. I don't hate it.
Yeah, that's the argument for betting against them too. I mean, it's gonna be tough, but you know, I'm firing at all these games in the playoffs. Screw it. Before we handicap the final game here of our Bet Slippin' podcast, the game 3 is in the conference semifinals. Let me first shout out the odds provider of this podcast, Tipico Sportsbook. All of our listeners in New Jersey and Colorado, please check out Tipico Sportsbook. They have an awesome, easy mobile sportsbook app. New users from this podcast can get a welcome bonus at usatodaybet.com/podcast. That's usatodaybet.com/podcast. Terms and conditions do apply, though. You got to be 21 or older to game. Please see Tipico's website for the details. And if you have a gambling problem, please call 1-800-GAMBLER for New Jersey and 1-800-522-4700 if you live in Colorado. Please remember to gamble responsibly. Okay, on to the final game here, the Game 3 Conference Semifinals Playoff Slate. It's kind of a mouthful, but whatever. Memphis Grizzlies head to Golden State, or to the Bay Area, to play the Golden State Warriors. Series tied 1-1. Tip-off on Saturday night is 8:30 Eastern Standard Time. The Warriors are minus 6.5-point favorites. Heavy juice on the Warriors, though. Money line is plus 250. Memphis, minus 320. Golden State, total sitting at 225.5, minus 110 each way. This is the only game I don't have a prop in. I do like a side, though, but what are you thinking about, or how are you feeling about this game?
So everything, I've watched both these games. I assume most people don't know, but I actually am an editor for a fan-sided blog that runs the Warriors. So I've been pretty deep into this. This is probably the series I know most about. Nice. And that being said, I'm taking Grizzlies plus 6.5. This series, I understand the Warriors had the second best win-loss percentage at home. I just can't get behind this series not having a close game. For starters, a lot of that has to deal with the way that Ja Morant really just destroyed the Warriors' death lineup and the way that Dylan Brooks has been extraordinarily inconsistent this series. And against the Wolves as well. He had a couple games where he hurt the Wolves, and his shot selection wasn't great. So I don't think they're going to miss him much. So in game 2, the PTSD Fast Five lineup, whatever, Poole, Curry, Thompson, Wiggins, Green, they played 11 minutes in game 2. They abused the mess out of the Nuggets all series. Well, in game 2, it had an 83 offensive rating, 135 defensive rating for about a 51 net rating. That unit can't rebound. They were 46.2 defensive rebounding rate. I understand it's one game. This unit doesn't have a lot of experience together, and they're just not – they may not be able to keep up with Morant. They're going to have some homework to do. And then on the other side, you have Desmond Bain. I love Desmond Bain, and he hasn't really been able to get going yet, like I think he will, because the way you're going to stop Morant is you're going to clog the lane. He drove on them every time, and he just made a layup. You're going to clog the lane. You're going to ask Desmond Bain to do more. But if you really want Desmond Bain to do more, then great. The Warriors should want that. But he's shooting 44% from three this season. And I'm pretty sure, yeah, he's at 45% from three in the playoffs, hitting 3.6 attempts out of 8. He's going to start playing better. He's averaging 19.4 points per game, and he's been pretty bad through the first two. The first two games have been extremely close. I think this game's going to be at least within 7. And my handicap isn't necessarily that the Grizzlies are going to win. I'm not saying take their money line. The Warriors at home have still been a different beast. I'm saying take the plus 6.5 because that's too many points to me.
Yeah, dude, I agree with you. And this is the series that I flipped on. Going into it, I was just like, the Warriors are going to smack Memphis. Memphis can be spazzes with the perimeter defense. They're going to get caught out of position, and the Warriors are going to light them up. But as I watch it, man, like your point, like Golden State needs Jordan Poole, Steph Curry, and Klay Thompson on the floor. And none of them can stay in front of Ja Morant. None of them. They're getting crushed. And it's not going to change. It's not.
To be fair, what's going to change is they're not going to shoot 7 for 38 from three. I would put, if the Warriors money line was anything under 150, I would love to double, find the middle in a 4 or 5 point victory. Mm-hmm. Because I think the Warriors still come out on top. They're not shooting 7 for 38, but you're right. They're not staying in front of Morant. And they showed that.
Yeah. That's the thing, is if their ball security, Memphis has a huge strength on weakness edge in ball security. And it appears as though Ja Morant is the most dominant player in the series. I mean, obviously Steph Curry could heat up and completely take this one over. Same with Klay Thompson to a lesser extent. And hey, maybe even Jordan Poole goes nuts. So I'm with you. I do think Golden State ultimately wins this series, but the ball security is a thing. Like Golden State, they do a whole bunch of off-ball movement, a bunch of back cuts, a bunch of screens, and it looks awesome most of the time, but they get a little clumsy. They were 29th in offensive turnover rate during the regular season, and they allowed they were 21st in points off of turnovers allowed per game. This is a major strength for Memphis. They're 4th in offensive turnover rate, 4th in defensive turnover rate, and 4th in points off of turnovers per game. So Memphis does a really good job of pressuring ball handlers. Draymond Green tends to turn the ball over a lot. So I think Memphis is going to get some easy buckets to keep them within range. I think Ja Morant could just wreak havoc on this Golden State defense, which played really well during the regular season, but I don't like their matchup in this one. And I'm not a huge trends player, but there are a couple trends that I like here. Memphis has covered 4 straight against Golden State. Most of my Golden State homies are afraid of Memphis. They have a lot of respect for that team. They're also 6-1 against the number in their last 7 versus Golden State. And Memphis gets up against big opponents, at least they did in the regular season, have here in the postseason. They're 13-3 against the number in their last 16 games versus teams with a 60% winning percentage or better. So I agree with you in the sense that I think the Warriors, like if the money line was near a pick 'em, I would 100% bet the Warriors. And that logic of Klay Thompson's not going to shoot 2 of 12 again is something I absolutely groove to. Like, I'm with you there. It's just like, I mean, Ja Morant can get anywhere on the court. I don't know.
And the craziest thing is, I don't know this for a fact. I haven't even checked pregame, but I would tend to lean to the market loving the 6.5 for the Warriors.
Yeah, according to pregame, 65% of the cash is on the Warriors, and according to Tipico, 67% of the cash is on the Warriors 6.5 and 94% of the bets. So
that just makes me want to go +6.5 for like 10 units.
Because a lot of people, I think, are assessing it or are kind of sticking to the one point that we made and making that the base of their the foundation of their handicap, which is like the Warriors aren't going to shoot that bad from the field again, which absolutely that could happen. But like, If Memphis is going to get easy points off of turnovers and their ball dominant point guard can get in the lane at will, well, I feel like Memphis is just going to score a bunch of points too. So I like the +6.5 a lot here. I'm a little bummed out. We couldn't really find anywhere to disagree here and this entire podcast. We don't do any pre-production meeting though, so this is just seriously what we think. Hopefully.
I mean, the only one that really had any was me not even wanting to play the Bucks series. I mean, what are you going to do? Try to handicap that the Mavs are that much better when they just let a team shoot 70%? I mean, that's what.
And you know what? To your point, if I had to tier or rank my picks, the Bucks pick is at the bottom. I feel that one is the biggest toss-up because hell, like I had Boston either in the finals or losing to the Brooklyn Nets in the first round. That's actually what I selected. So I've been a little off on Boston, and I'm not as locked into this series as the other three. But still, be that as it may, I like the Warriors, or I like the Grizzlies plus 6.5 on Saturday, and I do like the Bucks minus 2.5 on Saturday as well. Do you have any other thoughts on the Golden State Grizzlies series or any of the other three series, or do you want to give our best bets out?
No, let's window it.
The Bet Slippin' Podcast. Go into the window.
All right, cool. This is where we wrap this puppy up and go to the window with our best bets. So we're just pretty much regurgitating everything we talked about, obviously. I'm sure a lot of listeners remember what we said. If not, though, I'm taking the Miami Heat money line, the Suns plus the points. If I can get any, I'll take the money line. If it's around even money, I'll take the Bucks minus 2.5 and the Grizzlies plus 6.5 for my four sides. What are your sides, Nate?
I got a Heat minus 1.5, Grizzlies plus 6.5, and then I got Dallas under 219.5.
Nice. And I got three props, three unders. I'm going under Jimmy Butler, 22.5 points, under Jalen Brunson, 17.5 points, and under Jason Tatum, 29.5 points. What player props do you have?
Grant Williams, over 1.5 triples, minus 115.
I'm throwing that in my bet slip as well, dude. I love your
handicap.
Throwing
something on it.
Hell yeah, dude.
I'm not going to say, I don't love props, so don't throw the bag, but do that on the Grizzlies game.
I usually get smoked in props, like NFL props. I ran terribly, but I'm doing pretty good in these playoffs. Hopefully I can keep the good momentum going and win some money here on these props. Lord knows I need it after that first round beatdown I took. All right. Well, that's it for the Bet Slipping Podcast. Do you have any final thoughts for these guys?
No, I appreciate it. Love the NBA playoffs. Just, have fun, knock it out, win some money.
Yeah, I'm going to be taking this weekend off. This obviously covers Friday and Saturday, but I'll be back talking to you guys next Monday, and maybe me and Nate can reconnect on a conference finals playoff preview. But until next time, peace.
See you.
What is this out and about? Thought I'd see if anybody wanted to play some round ball.
You're listening to the Bet Slippin' Podcast's daily NBA show featuring Jeff Clark from USA Today Sportsbook Wire.